Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting on eSETI Stargate as well. We've got a great show. There's a couple things I wanted to cover. I don't know if you're watching the news, but it seems like everything is coming out. It looks like Jeffrey Epstein actually was strangled and not hung. And that's coming out right now. They've got the top pathologist looking at that. And there's so many things going on. You know, we got Baghdadi, and it looks like some of our senators were over there right before we grabbed Baghdadi. And so I'm wondering how they found out who he was and where he was, you know. So anyway, it's kind of interesting going on. If you follow, read between the lines and you'll figure it all out. So there's a major multidimensional war going on, and coming into Halloween, it's really important to stay on top of your clearings. We're having things pop up that I've never even seen before. So the dark hearts here on Earth have their unseen negative influences running them, and those are coming out of the woodwork right now. So this war between the dark hearts and the white hats it's a multidimensional war, and we can all do our part by doing these clearings and keeping our own energies clear, and do your own research and turn off your TV, because most of the news coverage is pretty much fake news, and there's a lot more to the story. I mean, even Fox News doesn't cover the whole story, so they cover some of it and good part of it, but there's so much more to the story that's not being covered. It is all going to come out. Everything's coming back online, and I know the QAnon guys are coming back online, and there's a whole lot of more information coming out, so stay tuned to that. And I tell people right now, it's so important to depersonalize things, you know, practice loving detachment. Be the observer of yourself. If you're feeling a lot of anger and division energies and things like that, most likely you're being influenced by these unseen negative influences, and do clearings. Just go to our website, go to eseti.org and the healing section, and it'll tell you how to clear these unseen negative influences. And if we all did this on a large scale, the planet would ascend much faster. So there is a vibrational lifting going on. It's a planetary liberation process. It's multidimensional. And, you know, that process, as these new energies come in, they're going to accelerate and amplify a lot of the negative stuff. Or I should say, there's a big difference between positive and negative and evil. You know, so, you know, negative energy isn't evil. It's just energy. It takes, you know, both polarities to create. And it's important to realize that, but evil is different, and there is evil, and it is doing its thing. So when people say there is no negative or there is no evil, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. You know, go back to your goji berries, and if you're not a threat, you know, obviously, you know, you're not doing your work. Anyway, so with that said, we've got Tricia Vargas. Now, Tricia has the 90-degree turn website. If you go to YouTube channel, you can hear her show. She's doing some great interviews, and she's a good friend of eSETI. She's been out to the ranch, you know, a couple times. I've been on her shows, and she's been on my shows, and she does great work out there. So with any further ado, I want to bring Tricia on the show. Tricia, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, James. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I noticed you're doing a lot of interviews, new interviews. What's the latest things or the latest wisdom that you've come across to share with the audience?
Okay, well, I mean, the latest, it's an interview I just recently did, actually just yesterday. It hasn't come out on the channel just yet, but it is in regarding to hypnotherapy, okay. Like past life regression and clearing out entities that might be attached to people in their astral body and such. So, goodness, I mean, that topic itself can be really unwrapped and be a whole episode in itself. But to keep it short, I think it's important for the audience to know that, like you were saying, it's to do clearings and to really get your intentions set on what you want to do and how you want to present yourself. And if there are energies and feelings that are coming up that you feel might not be yours, kind of check yourself and do some clearings to see if that'll go away. And if not, there might be some other things that you have to look into deeper within yourself. you know?
Yeah. We're having like refugees come up to the ranch lately. It's been crazy. And we're actually shutting down right now. So, but there's, you know, people are being just hammered. You know, the light workers are just being hammered by these energies. And unfortunately, they don't address that in a lot of spiritual classes and things like that. They address one side of the coin, you know, and they just say, yeah, if you do your yoga and you do your prayers and affirmations and you're good, you know. And that's not really the case. That's a half-truth, because enlightenment means to be in knowledge of both sides of the coin. And so these other energies are coming through friends, family, lovers, everywhere. And they're creating as much discord as possible, you know, and division. And we've been watching these energies come up, and they seem to be coming up to a climax, you know, coming into Halloween. It seems to be that gives them carte blanche or something to come out. But
No, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I know just even in my own personal life, the past few weeks have been kind of rough in that way, where I feel like a lot of triggers and energies are coming through where I'm like, wow, like people are really showing who they are. Mm-hmm. And like they just can't hide it. Like that's been, I feel like, a pattern, though, going throughout this whole year, that like you know that all this information is coming out now. Whoever's pointing the fingers is kind of, it's being shown that they're really doing the awful things, you know. And it's the same even just on a even micro level of someone's personal life, where things are coming up, and it's really, I guess it's kind of difficult to go through, but it's important to go through it and learn from the experience.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, a lot of classes, they don't talk about dealing with things outside of the love and light realm. Mm-hmm. And it's important to acknowledge that there are other entities out there and beings that have their own agenda and don't always have your best interest at heart.
Yeah, we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And there are people out there saying that it's all good, don't worry about it. You know, there are no negative ETs, there are no negative entities, just open wide and let anything come in and take over your body. We're just going, are you serious? Like, who are you working for, you know? And and you know, we see that a lot here. And I've noticed too that with these energies, I mean, where there's a massive solar flare that just hit, the Schumann resonance is off the scale, and that's going to bring everybody's stuff up. It affects the bioelectric fields around the body. It's going to create erratic weather. We just had a windstorm here that was off the scale. And, you know, it creates actually increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. So the whole earth is, you know, being shaken by these energies and going into process. And it seems like Mother Earth herself is just throwing off a lot of this stuff. So it's affecting every level. But what I've seen more than anything right now, I've seen these beings, and I don't want to freak people out, but, you know, they have dark robes and they have claws for hands and they have these little scepters in their hands. And I'm going, who are these guys, you know? And I had to call in the lion beings and the Andromedans or the archangels or people like that to come in and take care of business with these beings. They are part of the dark lords, I guess, that run these dark realms. And those are the realms that, unfortunately, a lot of our leadership is plugged into. And so you're going to see, as this is cleaned up, you're going to see their physical counterparts here on Earth that are in positions of power start going crazy and nuts and expose themselves for who they are as well. So it's like, you know, Jesus once said that. He said, no rock should be left unturned, and all the iniquities will be shouted from the rooftops, you know. So the masks are coming down, and people are being seen for their true motives, you know, and where they're at in consciousness. And you know, you want to hold them in love and light and hold them to the highest levels, but, you know, they got to do their part and take personal responsibility.
Absolutely. With that personal responsibility part, I think that's one of the most pivotal things within the human evolution of consciousness. Because once we can take that responsibility, we are no longer victims. We see the world in a different light. It's like we have a different color glasses on, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can suddenly realize that, wow, everything that happens in my life, either I've created it on an energetic basis and I've attracted it to myself in some way. You know, you've opened the door to it in one way or another.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it can really change.
Yeah, there are some people that incarnated from these higher dimensions, and they have a different purpose here. They they made a choice, they made an agreement to come in, knowing this is a very dysfunctional planet right now, to help, you know, in the awakening healing process. But still, you know, you got to maintain your self-authority, and you got to take personal responsibility, and not get into reactionary mind, and really hold your space to get through these times, because they're being tested the most.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we're getting people, like in the counseling sessions, we have people that are, you know, they're incarnating from, you know, their fifth dimensional feline beings, Syrians, or they had lives in the Orion system, and they went through the wars, you know, they're in Orion, and they're coming to help liberate Earth right now. And a lot of Palladians are coming in and incarnating right now. And I think everybody's waiting for this big UFO invasion to happen, and they don't realize that it already happened. It was by people reincarnating, by souls coming from these very advanced civilizations that are reincarnating now. And there's a saying that the Creator's given his best, or its best, I don't want to say his, you know, for these times. And all these people have come in from these very advanced civilizations to you know, help people, you know, make this transition.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I've done a session before with you where I could find out, like, where my star families were. And I couldn't agree more. That I feel like, yeah, the aliens are already here.
Yeah.
We're all already here. We're trying to raise the vibration and make sure that consciousness can evolve and expand and grow in the way that it could really be change the world, you know, and create, like, the new earth that we're all envisioning. You know, I feel like a lot of people can get stuck into the idea that a new earth will suddenly just appear in front of them. You know, when really it's something we create with our own vibration. You know, like, mm-hmm. you live on a beautiful piece of land where you're able to create really high vibe workshops and have people from all around the world come and see you. And that's already, to me, a part of the new earth. You're living in a different frequency than, let's say, someone who is in, like, the middle of New York City working in a corporate job, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's about how you envision it and how what you're doing in your part to create that new earth that we all want to envision and speak of, you know?
Yeah, we've had about 30-something years of intense work here and ceremony, and elders from all over the world have come here, and plus we're on two ley lines that intersect, and we're in this purple zone, they call it, where there's this incredible magnetic field that we're in that creates the veils between worlds are very thin here, and you can, you know, the awakening healing process is greatly enhanced by just the land here itself and working with the land. But again, that doesn't mean we don't have to take personal responsibility for what's going on, you know, in our own emotions and fields, and to clear the unseen negative influences to make sure we maintain that frequency here. And that's a full-time job in itself.
Yeah, oh, I couldn't agree more.
So what you probably have more of a pulse on the outside world than I do. I know you've been traveling around a lot. Have you noticed, I noticed when I just go into the local town here, there's days I don't even want to engage people. I people are just so sad, and they're like little anger balls waiting to blow up, you know.
I live in Chicago, so
yeah,
it's there's pockets of people that are open-minded there, and I feel like it is growing, but yeah, often in my own life, yeah, I see that, yeah, there's a lot of people that are kind of fighting against things. Like, let's say I'll post something on Facebook or social media, right, to maybe people who aren't as, like, awake or just aren't as open to certain things. And I just feel like I've been getting more, like, attacks.
Oh, yeah.
Not to sound like a victim or anything, but because I'm not. Like, I'm bringing it, like, I'm happy to just spread information. If someone doesn't resonate with it, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've been getting a lot of, just, like, resistance to what I'm posting for many people that have known me, like, back in college and years ago. So it's really interesting to see, because I would love to have discussions, and I try and create that environment to, okay, let's have a discussion about what the topic, whatever it is that I posted or that topic that came up in conversation. And I've just been kind of been hit with these walls that, like, yeah, people's eyes just glaze over, and then they start going for personal attacks instead of actually talking about the topic at hand,
mm-hmm.
which to me, I find a bit frustrating because I would love to talk and expand on these topics because it's important to talk about Epstein. It's important to talk about what's going on in our world, you know?
Yeah.
And it's easier, obviously, if you have a more open mind. But to get to that point, you have to be able to hear the other person when they speak, you know?
Yeah,
otherwise, you're in an echo chamber.
Yeah, it's like when the intellect fails, you know, or the heart fails, the arms flail, you know? And yeah. people just go bonkers. I've noticed that, you know, I've just asked people just straight up questions, you know? And I ask them, they make these statements, and it's just regurgitated stuff from CNN or lamestream news or whatever. And I go, how do you know that? They go, what do you mean? And I said, well, do you have any personal, do you know these people personally? Do you have any personally, you know, do you have any firsthand experience around this? And they just look at you, go, well, everybody knows it. And I go, well, you know, there's a major social engineering thing going on and people are socially engineered and programmed by the mainstream media. And I said, so I'm just trying to get to the facts. Okay, how do you know this? Do you have any firsthand experience? Do you have any personal experience around this? And they just go back and they quote some, well, CNN said this and this and this. And I said, yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, they've been lying to us for years, you know? So, you know, about UFOs, about everything. And why don't you go and meet these people? Straight up, you know, meet these people and see what they're really like. And and if you're really wise and you meditate and you go back into the Buddha mind, you know, the fresh mind where you have no preconceived ideas, no programming or anything else, and you just drop into the heart and you feel these people, you feel the situation, you can get a total read on them, you know, who they are, what their agenda is, everything. And it's usually opposite than you've been given, you know, by social consciousness or the mainstream media. And when you know the big picture, you can see who fits into that big picture and you know, the planetary liberation and all the other stuff. And then you look deeper at it and you go, wow, all the people that are screaming and pointing fingers and everything, they're the ones that are doing 10 times over what they're accusing others of doing. And they're afraid of getting caught and they're trying to hide themselves, you know, by projecting out on others and have everybody look at you. You know, you can see through this whole thing, all the masks come down, and you see people for who they are, but it's sad to say a good portion of humanity don't have that inner sensitivity. They don't have the BS meter developed, and they just go right along with whatever the news tells them.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there was a time and point in my life where I wasn't as awake and I believed what the media would say, you know, but at the same time, I don't know, to me, when I look at the news now, I'm like, this is such a game.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
It just seems more blatant and obvious now than it's ever been before. And I don't know if that's just because maybe I pay attention more now versus maybe like 5-10 years ago to the news. But now when I look at it, like you saw that the al-Baghdadi, he was killed, right? And then you see in the media how they're talking about him. Mm-hmm. And they're saying how he was like a scholar. And all of a sudden, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is a joke. Like, how can anyone look at this person as a scholar?
Yeah.
You
well,
know,
maybe he was
a good man.
Maybe he was a scholar concerning, you know, torture and burning people in cages and chopping heads off and things. He was, you know, maybe a master at that, you know, and that's what they're praising. You know?
No, I mean, it's like making it the equivalent of like Hitler was an artist. Like that's like the same headline they would say. Like, oh, he was a true artist and then he died. You know what I mean? Like just ignore completely.
He actually was an artist and a vegetarian
as
well.
He was.
But that doesn't dismiss all the other things that he did. You know, so
exactly.
It's like, okay, let's find one. Okay, he said a nice thing to a dog. Okay, we're going to focus on that and forget about the millions of people that died. And
give him a tiny compliment, you know.
Yeah, and we'll write the whole headlines around that. And then it's just unbelievable now. You see through it, and you know these guys are I have an issue, and I have to curb myself a little bit when I don't get caught up in it, but I just don't do well with liars. And when people lie to me over and over, and you catch them lying over and over again, and they keep doing it, and they do this feigned, like they're so upset and it's all fake, you know, like I am so upset, I'm this and that, how dare you, and everything. And they know it's all a show and they know they're lying and they do it on the air and mislead millions of people. And I just see these people and I just go, you know, these guys really need to go somewhere else, you know, wherever that may be. But and people need to wake up and look at these people. And, you know, people worship some of these people and they hold them on a pedestal. And, you know, I still have people screaming at me, you should, with vitriol hatred, and they're spiritual people. And I've known them for years. And they said, you should want to just kill Trump and you should just, and they're just spewing all this hatred and anger out and everything else. And then when I just ask them, well, for what? And then they just go off on these tirades. And I said, well, you know, that's pretty much been proven not to be true. You know, those are big nothing burgers, one after another. And I said, if you have any firsthand knowledge about something or you have somebody you know personally, you know, that firsthand experience, I'd love to hear it. And we'll talk about it. But just don't quote CNN or some of these other places. And they never can, but they don't realize the energy that they're holding on to, and they don't realize they've been played. Their unhealed wounds and traumas, whether with men or women or whatever, whether you're, or, you know, the race card and the gender cards and everything that they're playing to divide and separate people, they don't see it. They don't even see that. And I go, you don't see what's going on here. It's like, this is, they're actually, they're probably harvesting this energy that they're creating, all of this anger and separation and againstness and everything else. They're probably feeding off of this energy.
Oh, absolutely. To me, there's no doubt in my mind that there's people are being used, right?
And if
you have the anger and hatred and you're just kind of like not able to think for yourself in a way that'll be able to bring compassion and understanding, you know, and you can have boundaries, but that anger and it just comes from such a dense place such a darker kind of force that there's definitely entities feeding off of that. I mean,
yeah, I tell
maybe
them,
science I can't prove it, but yeah. I can feel it.
We can prove it. Actually, we photographed it and we have technology that actually can film these entities and what's going on, and you can see them around people and everything else. But, you know, but these, it's obvious right now. When you just look at somebody, look at their eyes, they won't look at you in the face. You know, they look down all the time. They won't make eye contact. And you can see it in their eyes. I mean, some of these people have black eyes. I mean, you can just look at them. And if you're sensitive right away, you can't listen to them. And some may sound real charismatic and they'll be saying all the right things and everything people want to hear, but they do everything the opposite, and now that's starting to come into light. You know, people are starting to see through this on a pretty big scale, and they're finding out that, you know, everything is almost opposite. I always say if you take the mainstream news and just reverse it, then they're telling the truth. Just reverse everything that they're saying.
Yeah.
And take everything that they accuse others of, they themselves are doing tenfold. And then you'll have a better picture of what's really going on in the world. But yeah, I mean this whole thing. I mean, I saw somebody on there just, you know, pissed off and screaming that the dog got hurt in the raid and blamed it on Trump. You know, it's like, you know, I think it's might be a good, you know, if a couple people got hurt taking this guy out, it's a lot better than him killing, you know, thousands of other people Mm-hmm. And continue to suck people into this program, which is another, you know, division game at the highest level, you know, where it's not just divide but kill everything that doesn't believe the way you believe.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. What do you think would be a way that people themselves can, like, not be in such a, I don't know, like a division mindset? Because I feel like that's one of the hardest things to overcome, because people naturally in duality, you have like one side opposing the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I that's the hardest thing I'm having, a difficult time to break through to other people, is to be like, listen, like there is unity, but we should be aware that there's darker forces and there's other things. But then when you talk to spiritual people, they're like, everything's love and light, everything is one,
yeah.
which is true, you know, on on one level, but then there are people who we consider bad guys, right? And
yeah.
who have a completely different agenda that is not to propel humanity in maybe in the most benevolent way.
Mm-hmm. I think I love that one Confucius saying, yeah, man with head in clouds stumble in ditch, you know. And, you know, it's really true. And, you know, I always tell people, they go, well, everything's an illusion. You know, this is not real. None of it exists. And I said, really? And I said, well, you have a physical body, right? And they said, yeah. And so what happens in the physical affects you, you know, hot, cold, all these other things, you know, you need to eat and things like that. And they said, yes. And I said, well, let's test your theory. See that tree over there? I said, take a run at it. And get back to me. And, you know, if you want the crash course in realizing that, you know, there is duality down here and we do have a physical body and we have physical needs and it's good to take care of this body and take care of the earth. And you know, I had people that were loggers, basically. I don't have anything against loggers, that especially people that do select cutting and do things responsibly. But when they just go clear cut these massive sections and things like that, I just go, oh my God, you know, was that really necessary? And it doesn't make any sense on any level because, you know, if you have a 50-foot tall tree, you've got a 50-year tree there basically. And to cut that down, you just set yourself back 50 years. And it doesn't make any sense. It's just real short-term, you know, gain. And it's going to hurt everybody in the long run, even them as well. They don't look at the bigger picture. But, you know, you see this happening all along in this me thing, you know, and well, I'm just going to take my part and let the world go to hell in a handbasket. And that self-serving program right now is just rampant, you know, within the leadership and everything else on this planet. And it's being called out right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thank goodness. I feel like this is one of the best times to be alive, though, because
yeah.
we are able to see it in action, you know?
Well, like, a master teacher once told me, he said, gods don't do boring things. You know, so obviously, you know, we chose to test our mettle down here and incarnate, and we can overcome these challenges. Once we go back to the creator within, we can overcome anything. And that's just where we need to get going. There's so much going on so many levels. The one thing I noticed is that excuse the phone here. It's somebody's just trying to call. They'll figure it out. But it's okay. Yeah. What I've seen. You're asking about how do you help people and. You know, you really can't help people unless they want to help themselves. And if, unless they want to be brutally honest with themselves and realize almost everything they've been told is a lie. You know, the origin, you know, of man, you know, the real history of Earth is a lie. You know, the archaeology we've been told is a lie. The Earth has been inhabited for, you know, 600 million years, which really freaks people out to hear that. They found artifacts, you know, from advanced civilizations that go back that far. The technology we have right now is a dinosaur compared to the technology we've had in the past. We still can't build the pyramids, you know, and so we have to realize, like, wait a second, we have to start over and just say, I need to do my own research. I need to keep an open mind, and I need to be flexible in my truth. And that's about the only way you can get through this is really do your own research and take responsibility for your own awakening and healing. You know, forget about the gurus. You know, the real guru is within you. I mean, you have your own personal connection to the source itself. So. You know, it's like a battery. You're leaking. All your energy's going out when you worship something outside, some external being or God or whatever. And, you know, all the masters said that. Go within. You know, the temple's within. You know, so.
I really, really resonate with that because I feel like a lot of people are looking for answers.
Yeah.
And many of them are looking for it outside of themselves. They think maybe a certain class will help them find the answer, or some person can tell them, or a whole group of people, right? Whether it's a religious group or just like a community center, or even like in spirituality,
mm-hmm.
I think there's many people who look and try and find answers from everyone else, right? They look outside of themselves. But they, like you said, they have to realize that the answer, the guru, they have the answers. We are directly connected to Source. Mm-hmm. And we just have to take the time in whatever way works for us, right? Whether it's meditation or going for a walk, just listening to our internal, like whatever you want to call it, like your inner voice, your higher self, whatever it is that you want to label it as, if you listen to it, it's faint. It's not going to be screaming in your ear, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But if you take a time to listen to it, you can really hear and understand things in ways that no one else can tell you. Because, I mean, we are all here on our own journeys. You know, you have a different mission to fulfill. I have a different, everyone here has their own mission, whether they recognize it or not at this point in their life, you know?
Yeah.
And the only way you know if you're on the right path is if it feels right. You have to follow your heart, you know? And I know that sounds super woo-woo, but I mean, to me, the heart space is like a sacred place. Like it is where you can feel something when someone says something off and you can feel it in your gut, right? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel right. And that is an intuitive knowing that I feel like we all have the ability to feel and to tap into that. It's just a matter of training ourselves to trust it.
Exactly.
And trust how powerful we actually are, because we're incredibly powerful. You know, like you had that remote viewing workshop, right? That I took a year ago or so, mm-hmm. and with John Dravanko, and that was one of those like big catalysts for me personally, where I was like, wow, I can be a vessel and I can mm-hmm. see things come through that as long as I just have that intention and I focus onto it, I can have experiences that I thought prior could only have been done by taking a psychedelic or of some sort, and it's just a matter of really, like I said, tapping into your inner self and knowing that you have the wisdom. We all do. Mm-hmm. It's just finding that voice and listening to it, you know, or that feeling, whatever it calls to that specific person.
Yeah, the answer always comes with the question, but people don't wait. You know, they don't sit with it. And a lot of elders will tell you that. They ask some questions, and go sit by that tree and go within, and the answer's there, you know, and they tell them it comes together. Because that's what created the question, you know, is the answer.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get it validated. And what I've seen, too, is what's really sad in colleges and things like that is they're really teaching socialism as the way and things like that. And all these socialist dictators in the past and what happens when you take the power and the wealth out of the individual and you centralize it, you always get a tyrant. You get some dictator. And then you have to disarm the people, and then there's nothing you can do about it. And pretty soon you're all living in abject poverty. And the only people living fat off these programs are the guys that created them, you know, the socialism program. So, people really need to do some research. I know when I went to college, I was kicked out of several classes, you know, because, psychology class, I said, how can a guy live who lives in the middle of Africa that's never seen the ocean or a lake or anything be deathly afraid of water? You know, where does that come from? It has to come from a past life. Where can these child prodigies just pick up an instrument and play them? You know, there's no logical reason and no training in this life that could account for that. You know, it has to come from, and a lot of the fears and phobias. And I wrote a paper on that, and they told me I didn't really need to come to class anymore after I wrote that paper. And you know, chemistry teacher, he told me, because I'm just going to give you an F, you know, no, don't even come into the class anymore, because I kept asking him questions he couldn't answer. And I didn't know the answer
either. Authority doesn't like that, do they?
Yeah, I didn't know the answer. I was trying to find out the answer. That's why you go to school, you know, to get answers. And they couldn't answer it. And, you know, same thing in physics and things like that. I kept going, well, where did that come from? You know, and everything goes, you know, in chemistry, everything goes back to quarks. And I said, well, what's a quark? You know, where'd the quark come from? And, you know, they just go, you know, you don't need to come to class. You know, stop asking those questions. They got really angry. And intuitively, I knew that everything, you know, there's a vibrational continuum. And everything goes from consciousness to light to energy to mass. And there's levels in between there. And I've always known that. And when I would ask them questions like that, and you know, there were legitimate questions I would get, you know, tossed out of school. And so you know, what I'm saying is that they're really trying to create us into little productive consumers, basically. That's the whole program. They're not really there to enlighten us. You know, the churches aren't there to help us make our own personal connection with Creator. They're creating go-betweens. And, you know, they're supposed to be helping out the less fortunate and the poor and the needy. And instead, they're you know, getting fat off of people giving their power away, unfortunately. And it's sad. And they're worshiping these Anunnaki, all their bearded gods of ancient history that are in all the sacred texts came from the stars. But if they really did the research, they'd find out that everything goes back to the stars, like the Yi Gong and the ancient practices. You track them down and they go back to Egypt. And then they go back to Atlantis and Lemuria before that. So and those were colonies, like Atlantis and Lemuria were Pleiadian colonies. So, you know, so you really track all this stuff back, all the ancient architecture and the amazing stuff that's done in the past. It goes back to the stars. But you're not going to hear about that in college or anything else. And now they got all this alien DNA, you know, and they call it junk DNA. It's not junk. It's from the stars. You know, it's just not active. And they're figuring this out. And my nephew worked on the genome experiment, so I know. You know what they found out, but you know it's just you gotta go outside the box and do your own research to really figure out what's going on, and even then you got just part of the truth. You never have the whole truth.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying, especially when it comes to universities. I feel like they're trying their best in the way to create consumers and just people who are able to be workers. You know, like you wouldn't want a worker to question everything, and you wouldn't want them to kind of think for themselves if you want them to work for you, right? Because eventually they'll just think, oh, I could do this myself, or I can create a business, and I can gain way more from it in experience and knowledge. But that crosses every facet of education that I have noticed. It's unfortunate that the system doesn't want to evolve and doesn't want to expand people's minds.
I think trade schools are even better, because if you really want to learn a trade and you want to be productive or whatever, you know, or, you know, find somebody that's been in the trade for a while and work for them and learn the trade from them, you know, and just do what brings you joy, whatever really, you know, makes you feel good about that kind of work. You know, that's the best way
definitely.
To go.
It creates a different energy when at least you're focusing on something you like to do and you want to do and you go towards it.
Yeah.
You know, like to me, a 4-year university, I mean, 2 of those years tend to be just general education courses, which don't really teach you much, you know, and they kind of just turn your brain to mush. And it, like you said, like if you start questioning those kind of things in class and are bold enough to do that, teachers aren't going to like that. They're not going to appreciate that because they don't have the answers themselves and they weren't taught any different. You know, like maybe once in a while you can get a really open-minded professor, but that's 1 out of like 1,000, you know?
Yeah,
so
I had
take our own education.
Yeah, I had a couple teachers. I had an English teacher. It was creative writing class, and the guy was amazing, and they fired him. He lasted 2 years there, and they fired him. And everybody loved this guy. And his whole thing was, he goes, I don't care what you do, just be creative. And some guy wrote a story on a cantaloupe, you know, he gave him an A, and just for, and it's a pretty good story too, you know, so he said, just be creative. And he taught us how to, you know, structure sentences and all this. It was just, I learned more from this guy than I did from anything else. And the guy was, you know, I would have to say in an endearing term, he was a nutcase. He was hilarious. And he was really funny, but everybody loved this guy. And, you know, and so, you know, he's one of these, what was that doctor? I can't remember. They made a movie about him. He was always putting on clown noses and everything. And you know, it was that kind of thing. And, you know, the class, I really looked forward to going to that class. And the other stuff I just felt was conditioning. You know, I was just being conditioned, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely felt similar experiences where I've had some professors that, few, but they really did impact me in a way where I'm like, wow, this was an experience, and I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to see someone who thinks outside the box, you know? I mean, like you said, you have to do your own research into really, and even now that's getting harder too, because you look at Google and how they are completely just literally like erasing the internet. They're erasing parts of the internet that were there like 5 years ago. Like I used to be able to research things about vaccines and GMOs and things that now I can barely find on like a regular Google search. You know, if I use maybe other sites or it's very difficult to find information because they're just quite literally erasing it from the internet to control minds.
I noticed there's a lot of clips that I used to find so easy. And I'd go, yeah, just type in this and this and it'll pop up. And they're not there anymore. They're gone.
Yeah.
And and some were really informative and things. And I find this one. And I'm going, my God, it is. It's being erased. And, you know, the real knowledge and people, I go, oh, check in this guy. He's done all this research, you know, on the origin of man and the ancient history and how the Anunnaki actually started in Australia. And then they went to Africa. You know, the breastplates of the pharaohs the gold came from Ballarat in Australia. And they have all this evidence. It's undeniable evidence. And, you know, Michael Tellinger is a very good friend of mine, and he's written about the Africa stuff and everything else, but he's just now going over to Australia and researching that as well. So the story just keeps unfolding, and it gets older and older and older, and then you find out there was great floods and pole shifts and volcanoes and massive waves that, you know, that have erased civilizations and you realize that we're not hearing hardly any of that. You know, we heard one, you know, I don't think they talk about Atlantis or Lemuria or anything like that in college mostly. They just talk about Egypt.
No.
You know, they go back to Egypt maybe, and that's about it. And then they show how they built these giant pyramids with, you know, a chisel and a stone, you know.
Yeah, that one always bothered me since I was a kid. I'm like, I just don't believe that this is how it happened. Like, it just seems, it's so perfectly done in a way that we can't even replicate it now. Like, I never really bought that story. I don't know about you, but it never resonated with me.
Well, those, you know, multi-ton stones that they have up there were cut with lasers. And they have you can tell extreme heat, 7,000 degrees minimum was used to cut those stones. And they're formed into place. They're levitated into place. And so it was extreme technology they used, far beyond. And, you know, the time that they built those, that they say it's impossible to do that with stones and chisels and people. And they didn't even have the logs to roll the stones over, and, you know, at the time. So the official story is so ridiculous. It's beyond comprehension. And, you know, they found these sarcophagus in there that are cut, and they're perfect 90-degree angles, and they're hollowed out. And we can't even do that today. Whoever did that had some pretty extreme technology, because we can't even do that today. We can't cut, you know, a square out of stone like that, you know, that precision today, you know, with the technology we have today. So to me, it's a no-brainer when you look at what was done and how it was done. And they had like, God, I don't know how many, they had all of these boxes that were cut like that. And they just had to, I think they left one of them. And they took all the others and hid them in the Smithsonian or somewhere. You know, they find some basement somewhere to get rid of all the bones of the giants and anything that doesn't fit, you know, within the official story.
The narrative of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get rid of it, you know, which
And you look at like the age of the Sphinx, like, it's been shown that it's significantly older than what every textbook has ever said, but they can't tell you that it's been weathered by thousands and thousands of years of rain and wind and all of that, because it would contradict the general consensus of religion that's in the area, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very difficult kind of catch-22 where there's scientists who are proving things otherwise, but then the religious stronghold on the country and in that region in general won't allow it. They'll forbid to even talk about it because it doesn't fit their own religious narrative. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, they say the real truth comes out when the professors, you know, and the theologians die, and when the old guard dies, is when, because they've all written these books, you know, and saying this is the truth, you know, And, you know, even doing the research into a lot of the stories about Jesus, like Michal Ledwith was here, and he was an advisor to the Pope. He was on part of the Theologian Society, and you know, he had access to all the catacombs and everything else. And he just said that the reason he left the church because they weren't telling us the real story. And there's so much of the story. I think he has a book out called Saving Jesus, which is amazing.
Yeah, I'm actually reading it right now.
Yeah,
I have it on my desk over here.
It's really a good book. Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, hanging out with him and learning, you know, like even Genesis was incorrect. And he explained that, you know, because in the true story of Genesis says, in the beginning, the Father of all fathers created the gods who created the heavens and the earth. And you look at this, and God has always been plural, Elohim. And, you know, you start looking at this, and you have to really expand your thinking process to, okay, there is some whatever supreme intelligence, whatever you want to call it, that created the lesser gods who created the heavens and the earth. And it goes into multidimensionality and past lives and everything else, but that's all been taken out, you know, of the Bible that we have today. And, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, he even said, according to all the recordings, that Jesus wasn't crucified, which is a really hard one for people, that he went through the scourge. Oh, you know, they put the crown of thorns on him, they beat him, and they ran him out of town. But that he said, we have no evidence whatsoever that he was on that cross. And so I mean, there's so many stories that were mixed. And actually, a lot of the stories go back to ancient Egyptian stories, and they just were kind of fit in there and rearranged, and you know, the floods.
It's like they played a bad game of telephone.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
wrote
the
down
floods,
wrong.
The flood stories and things like that. And you know, I always tell Christians, I tell them, I said, you know what, you know, your Old Testament has a jealous, wrathful God that was a genocidal maniac. Basically, he killed millions of people, and the New Testament has a new covenant, which Jesus brought, was an all-loving, all-forgiving God. And he fulfilled a prophecy that there shall come a great one that will bruise the head of the one who bruised the head of man. And, you know, you try to explain this to him and just say, the Old Testament was a different entity. The New Testament is the all-loving, all-forgiving God, you know. And it doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to connect to this jealous, wrathful tyrant? You know, it. You know, you can't make your own personal God connection if you're afraid of getting burnt and toasted, and you know, and you know. Even Paul said, when you're walking in love, you're walking with God. You know, it's that simple. But love's the highest frequency. Why, you know, why would a, you know, my dad wouldn't throw me into a pit of everlasting fire and brimstone and things like that. He'd go, son, you screwed up, own it, and do better next time, you know. So
And that points really a lot to unconditional love, you know, because where we come from, I mean, ultimately, we're from Source, right? And in my eyes, Source is pure love. It's unconditional, pure love. And I feel like every teacher that comes down that we read about in our books and all the different religious texts, they overall, if you don't get lost in the details of what the text actually says, the big picture is that they come here with love and they're trying to show us a different, a more like higher pathway. That look, if you look at things differently, we can all have this, we have a connection to Source and we are love. We don't have to look for it outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's such, it's so beautiful to know that we ourselves are what we're looking for.
Yeah, you know that you're talking about how not to go woo-woo and about the heart and everything. That's social conditioning as well, because the soul actually sits next to the heart. There's more electrical energy. There's more neurons there than the brain. And your soul is connected to the Source. And so when they say, forget about the heart, that's woo-woo, and just stick in the intellect. The intellect is a drop in the sea of consciousness. It's such a small part of your being. Your emotional body is massive, and your soul body and your soul that sits right is even bigger. And so that's a game that they play too, to shut you off from connecting, making your own personal connection with Source and having access to a much higher mind, a much more expansive reality. And that's another game they play, you know. So
yeah.
And
when another level of programming.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen from like the HeartMath Institute the images they have of like the vortex, the toroidal field that we have around ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Where it shows like the human body and its field. And then when you expand your heart, how much larger it just goes around. It's like a giant field around all of us.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's incredible to see, just to have that visualization, because not everyone can see energy, right? Like, it's amazing the power of our heart. Like you said, it is something that is so fundamental and so important to not just know about, but to really tap into and tune into. Because once we are connected to our heart, that's, to me, it's the beginning of, like, the end game for other darker forces.
Well, yeah, the intellect, we've seen what the intellect has done on the planet, you know, and a lot of the unenlightened patriarchal program, you know, has done here, and how much it's suppressed the divine feminine, because women by nature are more feeling, they're more nurturing, they're more connected to the heart. The heart's connected to the soul's connected to God, so they're a threat. Because they see through all the crap going on here and the nonsense. And that's why I've always said I'm all for a council of grandmothers, you know, to be running the planet, you know, connected up to a federation or something like that. But we really need to bring balance back. We need to bring the divine masculine back, the balanced masculine, and really support the divine feminine coming in, you know, to bring balance back to the planet. And I think that's what we're going through right now, this big evening. And I always tell people the ultimate power is love. It's love is the cosmic glue. It's the manifesting force behind all creation. And I know Isis came to me once and she said, you have to keep loving no matter how hard it hurts. You have to keep loving because love is the way through. And it's the only way out. And when you close your heart down and stop loving, then you know, you shut your you're off. You shut your energy off, your creative energy, everything else, and your own healing process as well. And so I learned a very powerful lesson from that is that you can't cut your flow off. We have the ability to channel the love of Creator through our hearts to everything and everyone around us. And we can't shut that down, can't allow others to shut that down. And the main thing I like to tell people is the only reason anybody has the power over you is because you want something from them. You know, you want their love or their acceptance or approval. And that's all social conditioning as well, because it's all within yourself. Hello.
Are you there?
Are you there?
I am. I'm back now.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. The last thing I heard was that it's all social conditioning. And yeah, I mean, it really is. Like you said, we have to connect to our heart. And I think it's really important that you mentioned about the masculine, divine feminine and masculine energies that are coming back to balance right now. I think it's a bit of a turbulent ride.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be really worthwhile, because once we find that balance within ourselves, we're able to be and show others how they can find balance within themselves. And then we kind of start healing society on an energetic, on a completely different level that I feel like it's been really necessary for a long time now. And I think we've gone to a breaking point that you can't live in these kind of separate, really overly masculine women and over feminized men. Like, if that's who you want to be, that's great. But I feel like to come back as a balance in society, we do have to find our core selves. And energy is a huge, huge part of that. I mean, I feel that could be a whole episode in itself.
Yeah.
But finding that energetic balance is so, so important, especially in these really kind of chaotic times.
Yeah, I mean, there's such a massive, you know, effort to demasculate, you know, the males. And, you know, it's come through chemicals.
Absolutely.
And soy and everything, you know, it's amazing, the chemicals out there, the, you know, estrogen mimickers and everything else. It's like,
oh yeah,
major effort. And it's showing up in the rivers and the swamps and things, you know, they have the gay frog syndrome that they're talking about and, you know, and crocodiles.
Yeah, I mean, that was a whole study done on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And crocodiles. Like, our food is huge. Food is a huge way that they use it too. I mean, it's everything. It's air, water, food. It's they're going from every angle, you know, which makes it ever more important to really realize that we have to become conscious of what's going on, what's going in our bodies, what's going around us.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, it points to what you were saying, that we have to start doing the work and the research to really understand. I mean, we're not crazy for thinking this stuff. You can find it. There's ways to understand this in a way that even the most logical mind can be like, wait, why do we have fluoride in our water? What's the point of this? You know what I mean?
Well, if the frogs don't mate, we're going to have wall-to-wall mosquitoes and flies, basically. So you know, we need to look at that. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for, you know, positive, negative, male, female, whatever you want to, you know, it's part of creation.
Polarities,
it's part of the
it.
Plan, you mm-hmm. know. And so, you know, I like to try to stick to the natural order, but don't be judgmental at anything outside the order. But, you know, that's probably going to get me some hate mail in itself. but anyway, it's kind of funny. It's amazing. No matter what you do, there's these big red buttons out there, and you're going to push them no matter what.
Everyone has an opinion. Everyone.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour. What is the best way for people to get in contact with you and to see a lot of the interviews that you're doing?
Yeah, okay. So the best way to really see my interviews is on YouTube. I mainly will upload them all there first, and then I will spread them out to other social media like Facebook and Instagram and Instagram TV. I do have a Twitter as well. It's not as active, but mainly would be YouTube would be the best place to really see my content firsthand. I set up when there's premieres, and you'll get notified if you click the red bell. So that right now is the best way to find my content.
Awesome. Hey, well, you know, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing a lot of that divine wisdom with us. And keep up the great work. And we're always happy to really support and sponsor, you know, that people are doing cutting edge, you know, bringing out the information, especially getting that divine feminine energy out there. And that you're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. Thank you, James, for having me on. I'm so happy I could be a part of this, and I do love the work you're doing. So I'm glad we could just help each other out and be a team. Because, I mean, there's really no hierarchies in what we're doing here. We're all trying to wake up the world one way or another, you know? So thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's been
awesome.
A lot of fun.
Awesome. All right, it's James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and also eSETI Stargate. Tune in. You can go in at 8 o'clock on Saturday. And you can be part of the chat and ask questions. There's a lot of us in there. So anyway, just keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and practice that observer, you know, because you're going to be thrown into reactionary mind with people, events, and news, and everything else, and just step back and get centered and come back to the moment and know that love is the ultimate power. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.